Steve.
All right, thank you for that singing this morning. Let's turn to the book of Judges. There's Junior Church, if you want to send your child that direction. They're waiting back there. It's been a few weeks, but we're in Judges chapter 6. And this morning, looking at knowing the will of God. Clarence has to adjust a few things back there, and then we'll get this going. But found out the sound hasn't been right on the sermons that have been uploaded, so I think they found out the problem with that, and now it's going to work. So knowing the will of God, or knowing God's will, can you know God's will? And if so, how? How do we determine God's will? Is it by casting lots, or is it by flipping a coin, or how about fleece setting? And that's what we're going to see in our text today. Gideon threw out the fleece. Does that kind of action display trust in God, or does it demonstrate this unhealthy suspicion or even doubt in God? Can God be trusted? Can we know His will? So we've seen in our text in Judges 6, we saw this cowardice farmer. When we were first introduced to Gideon, he's threshing wheat in a wine press rather than a threshing floor. He's afraid, he's discouraged, he's in doubt, he's in despair, he's even deceived, thinking that God has abandoned them. And then remember the angel of the Lord, who I believe was the pre-incarnate Christ, said, "Thou mighty man of valor." Here's this coward, and God calls him a mighty man of valor. And then we come to the sacrifice that Gideon brought, and he asked for a sign. The Lord gives him that sign, and then he tells him to go destroy this shrine that his father had for Baal, and he does that. And then we'll pick this up in Judges 6:36, and follow along as I read through verse 40. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hands, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And as we open this up this morning and we see this historical account before us, as Gideon put out the fleece, Lord, help us to learn from this text. Help us to better understand you, to see how we can know and discern your will. And so, Lord, I pray today that as we leave here, we'd be changed by your word, that we would exalt you with our response to your word, that we wouldn't be people that doubt you, but we take you at your word, we trust you, we obey you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this, knowing God's will, the first thing I want to look at here is, you might have to, there you go, Gideon's method. How did Gideon find out God's will? So again, you go back, and I just want to look at this. Gideon's method was not due to ignorance. He wasn't ignorant of God's will. Go back to the text, verse 36. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand," what's the next phrase say? "As you said." It wasn't like he didn't know what God said. "If you will save, as you have said." And then you continue on and look again. "If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." This isn't due to ignorance. He knew what God's will was. And you can go back into earlier in chapter 6, and God told him that, "O mighty man of valor, go and save Israel." God told him how he's going to do it. He's going to raise up this army. And so if you look at this, it's not due to ignorance. God has really gave a clear statement of his will. Gideon knew it. "As you have said." As you have said. God already clearly stated his will. There was also a clear revelation of his person. Again, earlier in chapter 6, Gideon, he recognized, I have seen the face of the Lord. There's a clear revelation of his person. He knew his will, as you have said. He recognized that this person that was talking to him was a Christophany. I have seen the face of the Lord. And so a clear revelation of his person. You see that in verse 21 through 23. The angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand, touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. There's then also in that those verses I read a clear demonstration of his power. So he had a clear statement of his will. As you have said, he knew it. It wasn't due to ignorance. He had a clear revelation of his person. He had a clear demonstration of his power. So, you know, I think of Gideon, and, you know, this is the first time that Gideon has had the angel of the Lord appear to him. And so there's a sense I can understand maybe why he's questioning this. You know, he's never seen this before in earlier in the chapter. Never seen anything like it. So maybe you can understand that maybe some further evidence. Okay, I'm going to prepare this meal, and then he sees this consumed. But then you come to this fleece. He's already had the clear statement. He's already had the clear demonstration of power, the revelation of his person. And so really, Gideon's method of setting out the fleece is evidence of doubt. He's already seen it. He's already heard it. So this is nothing but doubt. If Gideon truly took God at his word in the first place, he wouldn't have cast the fleece. Gideon, he didn't use this method to determine God's will. He already knew it, as you have said. He already knew God's will. It's almost as if Gideon is saying, you know, I know what you said, I heard your voice, but I don't really believe you. That's what he's saying by putting out this fleece. So he used this method to gain confidence of what he already knew. He knew it was God's will. The armies are already in place, God's already given the command, but he's doubting. I really don't believe you, God. He doesn't take God at his word. You know, what does God call us to do? Does he call us to ask for another sign? When we clearly know God's will, what does he ask us to do? To respond in obedience, to obey. He calls us to be faithful no matter the outcome. And you know, I think oftentimes we try to measure success by the world's standards. You know, we weigh things and we think, well, if I do this, and we measure success by maybe how lucrative it'll be. You know, if I do this and make money, then I'm a success. If I do this and don't, then I'm a failure. But how should the believer measure success? It's if we're obedient to do what God has called us to do, right? That is success. To be obedient to God's call on our life. And so, you know, we think, humanly speaking, nobody would walk away from a lucrative business or a promotion to do this or to do that. But when we stop and think about it, does God call us to make decisions based on finances or relationships? We're called to respond to him no matter what. No matter what he's called you to do. And sometimes that's suffering. Sometimes it's loss. So fleece setting wasn't due to ignorance, it was really evidence of doubt. Setting the fleece out was Gideon's method. It was really dictating God. He's telling God what to do. This wasn't God's idea. And this is the only place in Scripture you're going to see this take place, that Gideon sets this fleece out. It's not God's desirable method. But what business does the creation have to tell the Creator, if you do this, then I will? Or if you do that, then I will? We have no right, we have no business telling God what to do. The creation has no right to tell the Creator. And so, and then if you look at the text, really, Gideon's method still left out. So he puts the fleece out, and if dew settles on this fleece and the ground is dry, then I'll know that this is your will. So God does it. What does Gideon do next? Is he satisfied? Nope. Now we got to do a reversal. Now we got to see, okay. Now, and Gideon knows, because if you go back to the text, he says here, then shall you know you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning, he squeezed the fleece together, wrung out the dew out of the fleece and a bowl full of water. Then Gideon says to God, don't be angry with me. He knows that he should be responding already. But all it did was it left out. Man, well, and wouldn't the dew settle on the fleece more, and the ground would dry up quicker? We better try and reverse this. Maybe this wasn't God's will. And it's almost like flipping a coin, right? You know, you flip the coin and, okay, heads I'll go, tails I'll stay. And it lands and you don't like the answer, so you flip it again. And then maybe you do, you know, let's do 3 out of 5 or 5 out of 7, and you just keep flipping that coin because it's not what you really want to do. And that's kind of how it is here. He throws the fleece out. And he just keeps, he's got to have one more thing to see. I got to make sure this is God's will. He already knew it. God told him. He saw the demonstration of power, the revelation of his person. Then he does the fleece, and the fleece is wet. Now he's going to switch it around. And he is not being obedient to God's word. And so over and over and over again, this fleece setting still leaves doubt. Maybe I need to switch it again. Maybe I need to find another method. But in this all, you see God's grace and his patience with Gideon. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. The Lord verbally told Gideon, this is what I want you to do. He consumes the offering with fire. He reminds verbally again. Now the fleece, not just once, but twice. And think of God's patience. God is patient. And as I was thinking about this, here you have the creator owner, and he keeps doubting God. He keeps really dictating God. If you owned a business and you told your employer or your employee, you said, here's what I want you to do today. I want you to do these 3 things. And if that employer, what if he or that employee came to you and he brought a coin in and he flipped that coin? You know, and it didn't, you know, it landed tails. Well, I'm not going to do that. Or he flips it again. How long would you put up with that? Or those of you that have kids at home, what if you said, hey, I want you to go clean your room and make your bed, and he says, you know, I'm not sure, Mom, if that's God's will. I don't think I'm going to do that. Give me a sign. Would you give him a sign? There's some parents out there saying, well, I'd give him a sign in the shape of a wooden spoon. You know, what if they start flipping that coin? You know, I don't think, Mom, it's really God's will that I clean my room. Let's try it again because I don't like the answer. All right, how long would we put up with that? But God is so patient with Gideon. And as you have to see that in this text, that Gideon he's told several times. Then he puts out the fleece, not once but twice. And God does it. God does it, and that's God's grace. Because, you know, if somebody did that with us, what would our response be? You know, we're not all that patient sometimes. But what it really shows on God's patience with Gideon, but really God was persistent in delivering his people. How important was it for God to deliver his people? God is persistent. They cried out, he's raised up a deliverer who is Gideon, and Gideon's fighting against it. But God patiently works through with Gideon until Gideon, and Lord willing, we'll get to this in chapter 7, Gideon is going to go in and do what God told him to do. He's patient with him. And we see his persistence to work with Gideon. So I pointed out Gideon's method of determining God's will, not the way we should do it. We see God's grace. But what's God's method? And I started out asking that question, can we know the will of God? Can we know what God's will is? And if we can, what is God's method? Well, God communicates His will through His Word. And in the adult Sunday school class, Pastor Brian dealt with this quite a bit this morning, because Paul, the Holy Spirit, wouldn't allow him to go into an area. But we have the completed Word of God right here. God communicates His will through His Word. Gideon didn't have the completed canon. We do. We have the completed Scriptures, and 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 reminds us that all Scripture is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work, that we may be equipped. We don't need signs. We don't need voices. We don't need miracles to verify what we already know, what He's already told us in His Word. We can go to God's Word to determine God's will. So rather than seeking a sign, we need to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. We need to know the Word of God. What does God's Word say about fill in the blank? You know, I had a grandchild a few weeks ago. In my presence, he was not honoring his parents. And so I pulled him aside and we went for a walk. And sometimes when we walk to the garage, they think we're going to do a wood project, but I wanted to have a conversation with him. I said, what does God's Word say about honoring your father and mother? Well, I don't know. I said, yes, you do. You do know. Now, what does it say? Now, what does God's Word say about obedience to parents? And I don't have to put the fleece out to figure that out, do I? Because we have the Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I don't have to sit and wonder what that means or what I should do. If they're not asking you to sin, kids, what do you need to do? Kids all fell asleep on me, or they're ignoring this part of the sermon. They're to obey their parents, right? I don't have to throw the fleece out. You don't have to throw the fleece out. I don't think I need to honor mom or dad here. No, you do. They're not asking you to sin. God communicates through His Word. Should I marry this unbeliever? You're a believer. You put your faith in Christ. Should you marry that unbeliever? Do I have to throw the fleece out? What's God's Word say? Are you all asleep and I put the kids to sleep and all the adults? No, it says to not be unequally yoked, right? I don't have to wonder what God's will is with that. It's not God's will that you're unequally. Should I watch this movie that's filled with vulgarity and immorality? Do I have to sit and scratch my head about that? I know what God's Word says, Philippians 4:8, right? Whatever is true and lovely and honest, of good report, think on these things. And if my mind is there, it's not where it should be. I don't have to sit and wonder, what's God's will here? I can go to God's Word, which tells me that I shouldn't watch something or certain things. I shouldn't listen to certain things. Should I be involved in a physical relationship with a person outside of the bonds of marriage? What's the answer to that? No. I can go to God's Word. It's clear. I don't have to wonder about that. Should I lie? I mean, if I tell the truth, this person's just going to upset them, so maybe I should lie. What's God's Word say? Lying lips are an abomination of the Lord. I need to speak the truth in love. Should I rob this bank? I'm going to give 10% to the church, 2% to foreign missions. Kind of funny, huh? But think about it. We rationalize that way. Maybe not to that extent, but how many times do we rationalize about something and we try to twist it around because we want to do that when we know it's contrary to God's Word. We make excuses to disobey. Should I stay out past my curfew? All my other friends are doing it. My parents are just unreasonable. I already touched on this, but we're to honor our father and mother. Children, obey your parents. How about love your neighbor? But you don't know my neighbor. I'm not saying this. This is just an example. I have several neighbors here. This is for my neighbors. Love your neighbor. But how about it? Something happens and we don't like it. And so we lay that aside because we don't want to do it. What's God's word say? And we have to keep coming back because I can look to this. What is God's method for us to know God's will? We can go to the Word of God. And a lot of things we come to in life, we can go right here for the answer. And we can see God's will through His Word. Don't be drunk with wine. Well, Jesus turned water into wine. Let the state dictate when I've crossed the line. I'll just ignore the stumbling block passages. How about personal holiness? How about being a living sacrifice? You know, these things that I want to do. So we have some things are very clear in Scripture. Some things aren't as clear in Scripture. You know, which house to buy, which school to go to, an occupation or career path. In those cases, I just say we need to be careful. Be careful not to read into Scripture, not to lean on our own understanding. Reading into Scripture, I was out in Montana, this was several years ago, it was when New Orleans got hit with that hurricane. And so I'm out in Montana, and I pull into this town, Zortman, about 50 people. I go in, and I'm putting some diesel fuel in my vehicle, and this lady ended up talking to her, and she said, "Oh, you guys are believers." And I said, "Yeah." And she said she was as well, and she said, "You know, I was reading my Bible this morning, and it said, bring them in by the 50s. And she said, "God's telling me to bring people from New Orleans in here by the 50s and to house them and feed them." She read into Scripture. Well, she started bussing people up, couldn't take care of them, couldn't feed them, and they had a mess. You can't read into Scripture. And so, you know, what kind of vehicle should I buy? Well, I was reading Genesis 33:22, and he arose that night, took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. I didn't have to read that to know I should buy a Ford. No, but that's how people read into Scripture, see? And we can't do that. We can't read into Scripture. But these things that are not clear, we can't go, and it doesn't say buy the house at this address. How do we know God's will? Well, God communicates not only through His Word, but through prayer. James chapter 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. We can go to our Father, and we can ask for wisdom. And He'll give liberally. And so God communicates through prayer. God communicates through His Spirit. Every believer, everyone who has put his or her faith in Jesus Christ is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to John chapter 16. Look at, I'll read verses 5 through 13 here. But now I go away to Him who sent me. This is Jesus speaking. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things not to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take care of mine and declare it to you. And the Holy Spirit guides us. God communicates through His people. Seek godly counsel. Seek mature godly people to advise you and walk you through difficult circumstances, difficult decisions. Oftentimes these people have walked that path, and so we can go to God's Word, we can go to God in prayer. The Holy Spirit can guide us. We have God's people that we can go to for godly counsel. You know, God has called us to be faithful to Him. And His Word, despite the outcome. So rather than responding by throwing out the fleece, we should respond like Job did, and he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. What has God asked you to do? What has God called you to do? God called Gideon, and he doubted. He threw out the fleece, not once, but twice. There's doubt. When God has clearly called us to do something, what's our response? What should be our response? Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. When God says go, we must go. When he says stay, we must stay. You know, F.B. Meyer, when he is asked about determining God's will, he said this, when I was crossing the Irish Channel one starless night, I stood on the deck by the captain and asked him, how do you know Holyhead Harbor on so dark a night as this? He said, you see those three lights? All of them must line up together as one, and when we see them so united, we know the exact position of the harbor's mouth. We have God's word. And if we can see it clearly from God's word, we know that that is what we should do. We can go to God in prayer. We have the Spirit of God. When those things line up, and when it's clear from God's word, we do it. But when God has called us to do something, what do we need to do? You know, I remember I was running a Berg Electric, electrical contractor, and praying about full-time ministry. And I was convicted God wanted us to go into ministry. And I remember sitting in a missions conference, and when this missionary is saying, you know, are you willing to go where God wants you to go? I looked at the floor because I was kind of fighting it. Remember Pastor Brian saying, Steve, I think God's called you to ministry. And so we started to take that step, and God opened the door. And I remember some people really upset with me. I remember my dad saying, Steve, you're never happy. You think you always got to be on the go. You got a good business going. And I love my dad, and a godly man, but sometimes people don't understand that you need to do what God has called you to do. And sometimes that's leaving a lucrative business. Sometimes it's bringing to a place that isn't very comfortable. But what should our response be? When God has called you to do something, we need to do it. If it's stay, stay. If it's go, go. Whatever it is, whatever God has called you to do, you need to respond. If his word is clear, you need to do it. You need to obey it. I need to obey it. Those things that aren't as clear, we have prayer, we have the Holy Spirit, we have God's people. And so the so what here, the application, we have no reason to throw the fleece, for this is doubt. No reason to throw the fleece. No reason to flip a coin. Rather, we need to trust and obey. Think of that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You know, I had a cousin, he worked with pottery a lot, and he'd throw this lump of clay on this wheel and a little bit off-center and couldn't mold and shape it, and then he'd stick it in the center, and he would give a talk as he did it, and he'd say, there's no better place to be than in the center of God's wheel. And that's where we need to be. We need to be in God's will, doing God's will, whatever it is that he has called us to do. No matter the difficulty, the trials, we leave the outcome to him. We have no business questioning the Creator. What's God's method? His word, prayer, the Holy Spirit and his people. We have no business throwing out the fleece. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, this reminder from the life of Gideon. We've seen his doubt over and over. How he saw your will, he heard it, the demonstration of your power, the revelation of your person, and still look for signs, not once but twice. May we learn from that, Lord. May we trust you. Trust your word, obey your word. Be in prayer about these things that aren't clear from your word and not lean on our own understanding. May we go to you and ask for wisdom and guidance. And ultimately be people like Job that would say, though you slay us, we will trust you. We will be obedient to what you've called us to. You're worthy of all praise and glory and honor. You're worthy of of us to be a living sacrifice in every area of our life. So may we submit to you, your will, your way, for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.